Tuesday, February 20th, 2007, upon further review, episode number 34. You know, 34 is considered to be a lucky number in sports. It was the jersey number of former Houston Rockets basketball player Hakeem Olajuwon, former Chicago Bears football player Walter Payton, former Minnesota Twins baseball player Kirby Puckett. And now we enter that number, upon further review. MVP of review shows. Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we'd like to welcome everyone for yet another week of review episode goodness. We hope everyone is doing well this week. Do we have any other pre-mortems to talk about?
No, let's go.
Is that the opposite of post-mortem? Pre-mortem?
It works for me.
Okay. Clea's in a very efficient mood. After we're doing this show, we're heading off to the Museum of Natural History, which we may or may not review on our next show. So we're in an efficient mood getting this stuff done. So we've got three things that we want to cover this week. We're going to start by reviewing the phenomenon that for some reason we haven't had a chance. I don't know why we haven't reviewed this yet, but I guess the time did not present itself to us before, which is American Idol. Then we're going to move on to review the T-Mobile MDA. This is a cell phone that Clea and I just got after having other cell phones for a while.
Just get it. We've had it since.
We've had it for a couple of months, but I mean, the point is we've recently got it, and we wanted to talk a little bit about cell phones in general, and then we're going to finish up by talking in our podcast segment about the Mostly News podcast, which is run by Charles Cadenhead, a guy that we've known in other contexts before. So let's start by talking a little bit about American Idol, and you can find the website here at, not shockingly, www.americanidol.com, AmericanIdol.com.
What advice can you give them to put them on the right track this week?
They have to just have fun. Own the song. Hey, have fun.
They've got a lot to prove thanks to the candid critiques they receive from our judges. Let's get into it right now. Can they come back even stronger?
He didn't put it on blast, boys. That was hot, Phil. I mean, you showing your power?
Thanks. My dog! Woo!
Every week I'm hearing how great the tone to your voice is. And I can hear you right now on the radio.
You're not going anywhere. You will be back here next week. Trust me.
I love the whole face move, dog. I might have to borrow that, man. Did you like the poem?
Oh.
The face move?
Maybe when Jared does it.
Oh, come on.
Did remind me, though, of the Love Boat.
That would have been a great Love Boat, man.
Ah! Oh!
So much better than last week. At least you proved that you definitely got skills.
Thank you.
It was kind of nice, though, baby. It was kind of nice.
Thank you. That was actually nearly very good.
This was really weird for me. It was like a bad high school talent show, like you borrowed your dad's hat. It really didn't work for me, dude. This was not good.
Did you like it or not?
I like songs from that genre, and I do
think... Did you like him or not?
I don't like you.
It made absolutely no impact. In fact, halfway through the song, you were whispering it.
What season is this on now?
I was just wondering that. I think this has got to be season five or six, right? I would think.
And it doesn't come out once a year. They come out more often than once a year. I want to say it's like twice a year.
Is it really?
Or like once every three quarters of a year or something like that. Because it comes out pretty often. Yeah, season six.
Yeah, season six. So we're in the sixth season, yeah.
Okay. And each year it's slightly different in that they keep, I think they keep raising the age limit.
A little bit, although I think it's still at 30, right? Is it still the age limit?
I think, well, maybe. I want to say I feel like they've raised it again, but yeah, 30. Last season they raised it up to 30. It seems like a lot of people this episode are in their mid-20s,
yeah.
Which is different because the first couple seasons it was a little bit younger, high school, early 20s people. Greg and I are not American Idol fanatics.
No.
A couple seasons ago, we watched some of the audition parts.
Yep.
And then last season, we watched a few of the episodes. This season, we have not watched it at all. But since we decided, well, maybe we should review this phenomenon, we decided to watch two episodes this week. And so they've done the auditions. Now they're the top 24 contestants go to Hollywood.
Do we need to explain what? I mean,
I'm going to.
Oh, okay,
I was going
right, okay,
to. So yeah. That's where we are right now. But it starts by them going to a number of different cities. I don't know how many different cities they go to. And they have auditions. And so the first couple of weeks of American Idol is the episodes surrounding the auditions, which can be quite popular because they're kind of funny. You have some some really bad people, some good, but a lot of just kind of some scary characters that come out of the woodwork, and the three judges and their comments and their pain and having to listen or observe these. And then you have to get two votes from the panel of three, which is made up of Paula Abdul of 80s fame, Simon Cowell, who is a music producer, I presume originally from England, although I presume he is in America as well, but I think he's UK-based.
Yep.
And then Randy Jackson, who is also a music producer, mainly of like hip-hop and R&B, but he's done some other...
Well, he played bass for Journey, so that wasn't, you know, so he was actually a performer that didn't always do R&B, but yeah.
Right.
But now I think he's gotten more into that kind of mode. But I don't know that it's just R&B. He's just very much top 40. Like,
yeah,
all
very
of them
top
really
40.
Are top 40
right.
type of people.
Right.
So
you have to get two votes of the three to vote to allow you to go to Hollywood. And then after those couple of weeks of auditions, then they have all of the people that they've found in all these cities as potentials. And then they go to Hollywood. And I think it's a week or two where they're there, and it's real... It's like boot camp. They have lots of different challenges and exercises and songs that they have to do in groups and solo and all that kind of stuff. And then from there, they'll decide the top 24 that will go to the actual Idol stage and be the chosen ones for the season.
How many do you know? How many get picked to go to Hollywood? Like out of how many?
I don't think they have a limit. I think
okay.
It's like yeah, you're going.
Yeah.
And then it's at Hollywood that they then will focus it down to the top 24.
Yeah. So the problem I had, and then, you know, then basically once they get on to the show.
Then they get on the show, and then every week, the first couple of weeks until I think, they break them up by gender. So they have 12 females and 12 males. And then every week, one day a week will be the men, and one day a week will be the women. And they will, each person will sing a solo, and then the American audience votes. Once they get to the top 24, the judges no longer judge. It's the American people that are voting whether or not, the voting for people so that they will be there next week.
Someone commented once that more people will vote for American Idol than will vote for the president, which is...
Well, there was that one
distressing
movie that came out with Hugh Grant that was like that. It was,
oh, yeah. Right.
So then what happens is the people that don't make it will get cut. And so the first couple of weeks of the 24 top contestants, there's American Idol on, I think, like 2-3 nights a week.
Yeah.
Because they have it, the men, and then they have the women. And then
each
I
one's like a two-hour block,
yeah,
right?
And then they will have another, I think, 2 hours or something that will be rehashing, showing some clips that they haven't, and then telling the people you're gone. And then they'll get down to, I think it's when it's a total of like 8 or 6 or something like that, then they clump them all together and it's no longer, or it might be 10, I don't know. And then they'll clump them all together and then you'll be voting for your favorite and it's no longer by gender. And then that goes until they have the top two and then you choose the one and then that's it and the rest is history.
Right.
So we haven't been watching it at all this season. So when we decided to review it, we said, okay, let's watch it to see who these top 24 chosen they were.
Right.
And remember, we have seen, obviously we're familiar with the people that have won in the past, and then we did see last season's top 24.
Yeah.
Our first impression was that pretty much everyone sucks this year.
Well, this year? My general feeling has been, so they said that they say on their page that they've had over 100,000 hopeful singers audition for this. I am literally stunned that 100,000 singers sang and they end up with these 24 people as the best of the 100,000.
Right.
I mean, that either says that there are some real, real bad singers in America. And by the way, obviously American Idol has done that a little bit as well. Like the famous one is William Hung, who's an awful, awful singer.
Right.
And was considered to be so hilarious that they actually signed him to a record deal so he could release a CD.
Right.
I, as someone who sings in my own band, am very, very irritated by this. I think that we have enough in America that sort of celebrates mediocrity. And I would love to see...
It's entertainment. And I think that that's one thing that's a little bit odd about this is that I think there are a lot of people that consider themselves legitimate artists who would never audition for American Idol. So it's not really like
right.
It is the cream of the crop. It's
right.
the cream of people who wouldn't necessarily normally take a regular route to try to make it, or the cream of the crop of the people that are willing to do anything to
right.
try to make it.
And who sing in a very particular way. I mean, I would say we watched the men and the women. The men were not very good. The women were somewhat better. But even the women, I mean, 90% of the women all sing the same way. It's the same running up and down scales and the, you know, and not, I mean, no understanding of tune. Half of them are out of tune. Even when they're in tune, you know, they can't stand note for more than 3 seconds before they start leaping all around. It's the same kind of top 40 boring stuff that American Idol's produced for years now. And the fact that someone like Simon Cowell can say that he thinks people like Bob Dylan were overrated and wouldn't hold a candle to people like Taylor Hicks, that's a direct quote, by the way, that he thought Bob Dylan
was... He didn't say Taylor Hicks, though.
He said Bob Dylan was overrated and the American Idols today would be better than Bob Dylan. I mean, that just shows you that he has no understanding of what music really is. But the point is that, you know, Clea's right. I mean, it is entertainment. What frustrates me as a musician is these are not really musicians. They're people, some of them can sing. There are some people on it who are legitimate singers. But even those singers are made to sing in a particular way. And if they don't sing in that way, they're not going to make it through. And so I think the problem is that the American people may get confused and the world may get confused into thinking this is what singing ought to be and this is what music ought to be when it's one very, very limited way.
And I think that even Simon will admit, so. I mean, he's an intelligent man. This is not about finding the best singer in the country.
Right.
This is about finding American Idol. This is about finding a new pop icon. This is all about
right.
selling yourself to the American people. What do they want to see?
Yeah.
This is not about finding the greatest artist. That's not what they're looking for. And they'll say when they perform a certain, they'll perform a song and they might say, you know what, that wasn't a good choice of song. It's not going to, people don't want to hear that or that's not the way that people want to hear you sing or that could, or that you don't look the way that you should look. They're completely honest about what they're going for. And so that's, you know, I think, you know, that people could understand that to a certain extent. Of course, not everyone will.
What's amusing about the whole thing, too, is that a lot of the people who don't, there's a school of thought that says you want to go far enough that you get noticed, but then you want to lose so that you don't get tainted with the American Idol label. So, for mm-hmm. example, last year, there was one of the singers, his name is Chris Daughtry, who's really kind of a rock guy. He went out, I think, with like four people left to go or three people left to go. It was close to the end.
Right.
His album that he then got his own band and his own album deal, his album has sold four times the amount that Taylor Hicks, who actually won American Idol, has sold. And part of that is because he's better. And the other part of it is that there's this argument that after you win American Idol, you have to sort of act like American Idol for a while, and mm-hmm. you need to do the American Idol kind of thing. Now, there are some singers who somehow managed to get beyond that. For example, Kelly Clarkson, who now has her own kind of independent career, started as winning the American Idol, but notably, she got most noted, really, when she broke away from American Idol. In fact, there's even some controversy that she objected to the way that American Idol does things, and Simon fired back and said she should be grateful or whatever. So that started with her. The ones who can't get past those early stages, like, for example, Fantasia, who, yeah, she won season 3 and has vanished off the face of the earth.
No, if you're familiar with R&B, Greg, you know that she hasn't, she's still around. She's made a movie, she's done certain things. She's not in maybe the pop eyes all the time, but people are familiar with Fantasia.
How about Ruben Studdard? How's his career taken
off? On the other hand, died.
Sorry,
after his stupid song of
I'm sorry. 20 times. But that's the point. Like, I mean, you know, and the one that you remember more than him is Clay Aiken, who lost that season to
right.
him. And Clay Aiken has had a much better career. So the point is that, you know, it's a way to sort of get noticed. But if you really want to produce your own music, there's a sense that you almost want to get far enough and then you can break away from Idol. So people have noticed you, but you're not tainted with it.
It's also difficult, too, because it's going on votes. But who's voting and why are they voting?
Sure.
There is an organization. We should have had that website ready.
I know what it is. It's voteforthewurst.com.
Right.
And their whole theory is because they agree with me that this whole thing is a joke. So what they do is they've gotten this whole setup where people, they've gotten a whole, and I don't know how many, but they've got thousands of people who they identify the worst singer in the competition.
Right.
And then, as they understand it, and then they have all of the people who are on this website vote for the worst singer in the competition.
Right.
And there's an argument that to be made that this has actually caused some singers who really should not have been there to last much longer because they're trying to expose how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Right.
There was one of the singers last year, Kelly Pickler, I think, who was not good at all, who ended up getting two or three rounds farther on, according to Vote for the Worst, because of them. Now, obviously the people on the show itself say they don't have any effect on the vote. Well, clearly they do. The Vote for the Worst people sometimes, I think, switch their vote to make it look impressive. So once they got to like three or four people left, they switched over to Taylor Hicks. Well, they didn't really have anything against Taylor Hicks. They just, I think it was almost like they realized he was going to win. So then they could say, it was because of us that they won. But so there's a lot of anti-American Idol sentiment, which I think is all to the good because it allows people to start thinking about real music and what real music actually is. But the interesting thing about American Idol, too, is that you have... there's almost, a sort of sympathy vote that kicks in some cases when someone has a really terrible performance. And if you're in some ways personally likable, I think there are cases where those people have been saved over what otherwise would have been much better performances by their rivals. And that just is a further example of why I think this is musically bankrupt. But, you know, it certainly is a phenomenon. If anyone can tell, I'm trying. Yeah, I don't want to beat around the bush as much as I usually do.
Okay.
It's terrible. I mean, it's a ridiculous show.
So, and they also have a Karaoke Revolution, American Idol,
yes,
version. The most recent version of Karaoke Revolution is American Idol,
which is where you sing and Simon Cowell just says you suck.
Yeah,
right?
It's pretty much the same thing. It's just like the voting
terrible system
is, you know, Simon putting you down. So pretty much for these next couple of weeks, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 8 o'clock, you'll see one night. The first night will be one gender. The second night will be another gender. And then the third night will be saying who's getting kicked off.
And the popularity of it is just increasing. I mean, everyone's running scared. Nobody wants to go up against American Idol anymore. They just want to stay away from it because it's just this phenomenon.
It hasn't gone down, even with, you know, all the controversies that continue to crop up. Like this year, Paula Abdul, like, appeared drunk.
Is she drunk or not?
On interviews.
And is it more disturbing if she's not drunk?
And acting that way,
exactly.
Right. Anyway, so rating?
2. I know you're shocked. Why wouldn't I say a 1? But to me, the power of it's a joke. It's 2. I mean,
oh God, Greg.
It's a 2.
Well, I have to say, this season of watching these 24, I would have to agree with you.
Even the names. What are the names that one of them just got voted off? Nicole Tranquillo? Your name is Tranquillo?
You know what? I have to say one thing. I thought that maybe American Idol might be every year going in different directions. Like, last year, it seemed like they were actually giving some... The last 2 years, they were giving some rock stars a chance. It seemed like this year, maybe they'd give some more folksy sound a chance. I don't know. Maybe it's just bad first impressions. Maybe next week these people will get better. But they all
do you think
suck.
That,
and I'm not being
biased. Do you think that
biased.
The guy whose name is Sundance Head will get better? Sign
what?
Me up. Sundance Head.
Sundance Head? That's really his name?
Sundance Head.
Oh, God. I want to give it a 4. Because it's really popular and it's successful for what it does. Oh, my God.
And check out some of these answers to his questions. What would people be surprised to learn about you? I love to hunt and fish. How has this changed your life? It has given me the chance to change my life forever. Do you have any Lucky Charms? Personal. Who are your heroes in life? My family. Do you think the audition process was fair? Yes. If you win, who will you thank first? God. Here's a personality, ladies and gentlemen, of Sundance Head. God, what a joke. So, 2?
4.
4? For Sundance Head? No
3? 3.
3 is really pushing it.
Okay, 3.
What are you basing the 3 on?
Because it's really successful for what it does. It's an entertaining show.
Honey, there are other people who have been very successful and were not worth the time. You know, Wayne
3.
Newton is very successful in Vegas. We saw him perform.
Oh, God, he was so awful.
Yeah,
what was
exactly.
that? Was that? What
it was
that?
The NBA All-Star game.
Oh, my God, it was awful.
So, 3. All right.
3.
A 3 for American Idol, grudgingly. You should watch it once so you can see how terrible it is. And then you should go vote for Sundance Head.
I can't believe that.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So next on the docket is the cell phone that we own, which is the T-Mobile MDA. And as I said, we're going to be talking about sort of cell phones.
I want to mention, too, just that we're speaking about this phone, not simply because we own it, partially because we own it, because that way we can actually speak about it. But
right. But
also because a lot of people own this phone.
Right.
I think Sprint and T-Mobile offer it.
Yeah.
And pretty much all of the people that work at T-Mobile and Sprint, or all at least at T-Mobile, own this phone.
I can see why. It's
and
cool.
I've seen numerous people in New York with this phone.
But before we get to the specific, we should maybe talk just very briefly about
cell phones in
general.
General,
right? Like,
there was a back when I was young, back when I was like, I want to say 7 years old or something like that. My
back
dad
in the
told me.
Days.
My dad said to me, one day everyone will have satellite phones that they'll be able to carry around with them, and I was like, that'll be cool, because my dad made all sorts of predictions that were always usually true. And sure enough, here we are.
Yep.
All have our little phones.
It is funny to look back at old TV series from like the mid-80s and see people picking up these huge mega car phones, you know, with the huge, like, that weigh them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. And cell phones have obviously completely revolutionized our lives in good and bad ways. On the bad side, I mean, the good side has been the level of communication that we're able to have with each other is obviously a good thing. In fact, one of the odd things is as cell phones have gotten video cameras as part of them, that's actually in many ways reduced. They actually did a study about this. Reduced the amount of incidents of police brutality across, at least in America, because police can be filmed now by anybody around them who happens to be carrying a cell phone. In fact, the whole incident that happened with Michael Kramer, I think that's his, not Kramer, but Michael Richards, who was doing the laugh, you know, the comedy routine out in L.A., where he started dropping the N-word and a lot of other racial slurs, that was caught on a cell phone video camera. And that was one of the reasons that he then, you know, then he had to go through this whole process of contrition and everything. So it's kind of a watchful eye from the public, and in that sense has been useful. And obviously the communication level allows us to report emergencies much faster. You know, the climbers on Mount Hood recently were rescued because they had a cell phone in parts, so they were able to call in. So in that sense, it's been very useful in being able to, you know, increase the amount of communication we have.
I think it can be a wonderful enhancement to your life.
Right.
I think you just have to be careful around boundaries. I think people can abuse it. They can become obsessed with it.
My students. That's the negative. If I hear one more cell phone, and it's always hip-hop ringtones now, right? So I'll be doing it. So then we think this, and all of a sudden you hear, and the club, and the taken, and the, you see some kids scrambling in the back to try to shut it off.
That's your lyrics from a rap song, and the club,
and the club, and the something, and the, I don't know. Well, it's always partly in the club.
Anyway, but we have at least two friends that refuse to get cell phones because of their
Russ story.
Anger,
we're looking at you.
Anger or feelings around the resentment of people being able to get them whenever they want to, which I just think is, you know, I mean, I understand philosophically, but then you wake up and you realize that life isn't black and white, and you can move on.
And you can press the power button.
You can press the power button, or you can go
effective.
To voicemail, or you could not answer. It's really not that big of a deal. But definitely, you know, the enhancement with respect to safety, convenience, efficiency, I think is a major plus. But you need to be safe, and people do all kinds of stupid things of driving, paying attention too much to their cell phone. There was that one incident in Japan or something that Mostly News reported on where a woman got knocked into a train track because she wasn't paying attention because she got bumped in.
And they've had some people, I think in San Francisco, maybe in some other cities, where they've tried to pass ordinances to keep people from using their cell phones when walking on the sidewalk for this reason. So, I mean, look, you know, laws and all these things will eventually
always
catch up with it.
Trying to protect us from stupid people.
Right. And that's basically what it comes down to is stupid people and people who don't know their boundaries. I mean, to me, the people who are likely to be distracted by cell phones are the same people who would have been likely to be distracted by books, by Game Boys, I mean, by anything that took them away from the real everyday. And it has nothing to do with the tool specifically that's doing it. However,
the tool can enhance it.
Because the tool can enhance it, that's an issue. And, you know, there's certain, I mean, like, you know, even if you're talking with people on the, you know, at a table and you'll see people in the middle of a dinner just like, oh, wait, I've got to take it. They don't have to take it.
No.
I mean, in a lot of cases, they can just shut the phone off. So obviously, there are some issues generally with cell phones. But I think on balance, right, you'd have to say that cell phones are probably a better thing than a worse thing, despite, you know, the potential negatives. Is that
right?
Fair to say?
I think with any new technology, you know, there's certain etiquette that, you know, people need to understand, and there's got to be people that understand and people that don't, and that's unfortunate. But I don't think
we're sure all of our listeners are the ones who understand. Well, you understand, don't you?
Well, except Russ.
Well, Russ won't understand.
Well, he'll understand, but he will just shake
he'll
his fist at us.
Exactly.
But again, you know, I think the benefits outweigh the negatives.
Now, as far as to our specific phone, when I first got a cell phone, which was way back in the day, I got a cell phone originally to keep in contact with my mom, who's living by herself. And I got I remember the first cell phone I got was this big, mega, like, digital thing with, like, you know, 25 minutes of battery life, and you got like 60 minutes included time, and, you know, then you got charged $6 per minute. I mean, I'm exaggerating a bit, but not too much. It was specifically for emergencies, and it wasn't that portable. And then over time, you get phones that gradually reduce and reduce and reduce. And a lot of companies now have set up systems where you can upgrade every, say, 1 or 2 years, where you have a plan where you can get a huge discount off a new phone.
It's a little bit annoying because I swear that the phone stops working after the first year.
Well,
or
yeah,
the battery
stops working.
The
planned obsolescence thing is certainly an issue. So one of the things I wanted to do, because I've always used, or for a long time I've used, an electronic organizer that synchronizes with my Outlook. It's basically my email program. And so I liked having something where I could synchronize my email and I could check it when I was on the road, or basically, you know, where I could just have it if I'm like, what did he, where did he say I was going to meet? And then I would click on it and I would see what the time was I was supposed to meet with somebody. And I hated carrying around lots of stuff. So this latest phone that we got, for me, was great because it's a combination. It does everything. It's an electronic organizer. It's a cell phone. You know, it has a little slide-out keyboard, so it's easier to type. You know, a lot of the kids use things called sidekicks, which are variations, look sort of like these phones, so that they can text message each other. Maybe this is where the generation gap for me has finally started to jump in, because I am not into the constant IMing, text messaging people on the fly. I've seen people who would rather text message someone than call them. It would take less time to call than text message, but they
got
the keyboards out.
But then you get into a big, long discussion.
Right. So anyway, so this way you're just sending one text message and that's that. So you can text message with this if you like.
You can take pictures, you can take video.
Yep. So what I like about the phone is it was sort of the all-in-one deal. And it also allows us to, it has a storage card spot where you can place things like, for example, podcasts. So that we can take, for example, if you were to get a phone, dear listeners, you could record our shows, all 32 of them if you like, on a storage card and then listen to them all in a row. If you wanted to do that.
Right.
Which I'm sure you would.
And it's a little mini, it's a pocket PC, so
yeah.
Your ringtone can be anything, because
yes.
It's any music that you put on it is going to be,
for example,
your
a track from my album. Not that I actually did that for my phone at all.
But of course you did.
Right. And you can put games on it too, Clea.
You can put games on it.
For example, Clea has on it a version of...
No, I took it off.
You took it off?
I told you I took it off.
You did?
Yeah, because it was a little obsessive and it wasn't working properly.
A game called Pocket Heroes. Heroes of Might and Magic, Clea is a big fan of. It's a computer game and there's a version called Pocket Heroes.
It was a beta version, so
I'm
it was
shocked.
Still
I
had,
forgot. Yeah. I forgot that you took it off.
It was
wow.
Still a little faulty, so it would screw okay. up programming stuff, so I took it off.
Okay, well, then there you go.
That and I would play it for hours.
That was the biggest reason. So it's an all-in-one phone. The drawback, I think, and Clea will probably want to speak about this, is as a phone, it is a multifunction phone, so it's not going to work as well as a phone as if you just got a phone by itself. I still think it works fine. I still like the fact that you can synchronize your contacts and Outlook, so if I get an email from one of you guys that has your phone in it, I can put it into a contact list, and then later on when I've got my phone with me, I click contact for whoever called me, and then I can call them from
little,
the contact.
It
so
takes
I like
a little
that.
Getting used to, but yeah. But usually I spend most of the time with whenever I make calls with the headset in, so
yeah,
I can be
thing.
Listening to music, and then if someone calls me, it will stop the music and
yep.
turn to phone, and I can just click okay and then answer.
Yep.
I don't. It's a little pocket PC, so I don't necessarily feel overly comfortable putting it to my head very much. But yeah, once you get used to it, it's pretty straightforward.
Battery life is very good. It has a USB connector, which also charges it, so that's pretty good. It can even hold. In fact, there's a movie thing. You have to get a special program, but I actually was able to compress Fellowship of the Ring, which is my favorite movie, and put it on my pocket PC, which is awesome, so I could watch the entire movie myself. And if you're thinking that sounds tremendously geeky, so what? Let me say it again. I got Fellowship of the Ring on my phone.
So, or cool you could TiVo your TV show. And then Trent,
put them on there too if you want
to put them on there as well.
Now,
you said you were going to do for me.
I know, I got to make sure I do that soon. The phone is not super cheap, which is why it's one of those things that you have to do when you get it as part of this discount program. It's not something that you would just, I think it's like $250, so it's not cheap. But in our case, we'd had our old phones for a couple of years, so when we upgraded, we got this major deal.
No, we switched
and
plans.
We switched plans, but the point
we
is
left
it was,
Verizon for
we left
T-Mobile.
Verizon at the end of the 2-year period, though, is the point.
And so and, with the new thing, we got like $100 off the phone and then another $50, so it was like $100.
And T-Mobile has been okay. I mean, there were a couple of snafus and the transfer initially that we had to work through, but they finally figured it out, and we actually have a shared plan. The one thing I have to say is I'm sure a lot of people listening already have cell phones. Be careful about your minutes, because if you're not careful, you can, you know, Clea and I have worked it out, but there are occasionally times when without even realizing it, you'll go over the amount of minutes that you have. So what do you want to say for a rating?
We're rating cell phones or we're rating our cell phone?
Well, I would say yeah, for cell phones, I would probably say they're probably like a 7 out of 10 because of their overall benefit. For our cell phone, I like mine. I would say an 8 out of 10 for my cell phone. I don't know what you think
I'd
about
yours.
I'd
agree with both of those ratings.
Okay, so 7 for cell phones generally, 8 for a particular cell phone. If you got one, let us know. Send us your number. We won't publish it, we promise. Okay. Last on the docket for tonight is the Mostly News podcast. And you can find this at www.mostlynews.net, MostlyNews.net.
Hi, everybody. This is Charles Katenhead of Mostly News at mostlynews.net. Mostly News is a 10 to 15 minute newscast covering important news stories that may not get a lot of time in conventional press. also include a glance at the weather for cities and hometowns around the world. I wrap up the show with music from an up-and-coming pod-safe musician or band. Frozen Soldier. This is from the Dallas Morning News. Two climbers discovered a frozen body believed to be a World War II airman in the Sierra Nevada. British man shakes off HIV virus from the BBC News. No, he didn't. Lost contact with the 21-member climbing team on Wednesday. A visitor to Las Vegas from Ontario, Canada, won a lifetime pass to ride free on the Las Vegas. Partly cloudy with highs around negative 12 Celsius, 10 degrees Fahrenheit. That's cold. Bundle up, pod dog. Mostly news. Enough news so you don't sound like a dummy around the water cooler. You can listen to Mostly News at mostlynews.net.
This, as we said, is run by Charles Cadenhead, who is a friend of ours that we've known from the MEP Report and elsewhere. And it's been around for a while. He's up to episode 59 and is currently crushing everybody, including us, in the public service category of the Podcast Peer Awards, which makes some sense. Basically, what the show is, each show runs about, would you say about a half hour, maybe less, maybe 15, 20 minutes?
I was going to say 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe 15, 20 minutes, where he talks about the news, but he talks about offbeat news, news that perhaps didn't get as much coverage.
Right.
Sometimes he'll talk about things that you may have heard about, but
like
But he'll cover them in sort of from a different angle than the sort of standard idea. And it's basically just him. In fact, he sounds very much like a guy reading the news, like from NPR or something like that. And he tries to do it formally. Although I've noticed that as his shows have gone on, he started to throw in more opinions than at the beginning.
Yeah.
So at the beginning, he's very much like today in Houston, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then as time has gone on, he's started to say, this is ridiculous. And
which
he's usually right
hard
if it's
not
ridiculous.
To do,
but yeah, I would think so. He's a college professor, by the way, I should say as well, so he and I have had the connection there also. So
they're up to 59. We were not able to find the archives.
Yeah, I don't know. It just is not clearly visible, so it's something that
we
you might want to look
it.
At.
I guess it shows our stupidity. But
or something.
So on the when you first go to the website, it only has 59 through, I think, like 51.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, you just click on it, and it downloads, right, Greg?
Yeah, that's right. And it runs, it's run on Libsyn. So Libsyn is very standard for podcasting, and that's fine. That works okay.
And yeah, it's little clips. It's not, the blurbs aren't too brief. They're not too long. They're about right. And then he goes from one issue to the next. And
I just found it. Okay. The way that you get to the other stuff is by clicking on the news category, and then you'll find all of them there. But that's still a little bit convoluted.
Where's
so
the news?
The news category is under each show. See where it says category
click
news?
Under each show.
Yeah, but I would try to make that more clear, just, you know, because I think it's a little bit unclear when you first arrive there. But anyway, so that's how you do it.
We
click on news and
we're
you get there.
Anymore.
But there is a direct download link, so you're able to download it without having to go through playing it, which, as we've said, is one of our pet peeves.
Right.
I think the stories that he chooses to cover are interesting ones most of the time, and I find those interesting. Sometimes the way in which Charles presents them isn't the most interesting.
Right.
And I'm not 100% sure how to do that, because
I couldn't put my finger on it, but I didn't want to listen very long. I stopped losing interest, and it wasn't because he wasn't interesting. It wasn't because his topics weren't. The only thing I could think of is that he has kind of maybe, I don't want to say flippant, but a little bit of kind of like, okay, I'll just read this and I'll read that off and the editing is like, there's no flow. It's like obvious edit clip.
Well, the editing, the editing is clear. It's not sloppy, but it's not very elegant in a sense. And one of the things I was just going to say as you were talking about that, part of this might have to do with transitions. I mean, he does have a song that he plays during the show, but
well,
I wonder
if
even
having... That's a new feature going into a particular new segment that he's doing.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know that.
Hometown highlights.
I'm wondering if he couldn't maybe have some more little music clips sort of in between. I mean, I know it's a fine line to draw because you don't want to sound fake. But I wonder a little bit if there couldn't be some kind of music clip that's done in between, segments to sort of break it up a little bit. This is what NPR does on All Things Considered. You know, they'll have a thing and then they'll have this tiny little music thing, which sometimes they'll even relate to the story somehow.
Right.
And then you'll go into the next thing. And that at least breaks it up a little bit, so you're not just listening to him moving on. His voice isn't particularly boring. It's just that it's the same
Well, it might be a little bit of his cadence. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so.
since he's not smoothly just saying, okay, we're talking about this topic, okay, and now we're going to go to this, they're cut, they're spliced, so it sounds
right.
Spliced.
So the segue isn't
particularly
smooth.
Right.
His reading of it is, though. I mean, he doesn't stammer a lot. He doesn't, you know, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
But going from segment to segment could be a little bit better, I think.
Right, right. So he usually covers, what, about like 5-6 topics?
Something like that.
And then he'll have links for each of the different topics. And he does it once a week, right?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Right.
Yep,
and
once a week.
Just looking at some of the titles, again, we only listened to a few, it seems like in some instances when he chooses things that are a little bit more in the limelight, that it's not right when they are just happening. It is like maybe a few days or a week late, which I don't have a problem with, honestly, because a lot of the things he's choosing aren't things that I might have heard. So it's okay if it's a little bit later because I'm getting to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I hate regular news so much. I refuse to watch it on the television. I don't read it.
Whereas you would listen, you know.
So it's kind of nice to hear. And also, a lot of that is because of what they're choosing to talk about, because of what they're choosing to rehash and
right.
rehash and rehash and rehash.
Right.
So it's a nice option.
Right. I agree. And I think it's nice to have somebody who... His political, I mean, I think I know a little bit about his political leanings, but they're not extraordinarily evident. I mean,
right, they're not extreme.
Yeah, so they're not,
it's not
you
like
know,
he's cramming it down your throat.
Right. So you don't have to feel as if you're listening to it and thinking to yourself, all right, here we go. You know, you get a sense that this is sort of alerting you to things you wouldn't otherwise know about. And as I say, some stuff is the stuff that you've heard of, but he hits it from a different angle. Other stuff is stuff which you wouldn't necessarily know about. And I think that's certainly valuable.
Right.
This isn't a replacement for the absolute top headlines of the day type of show, number one, because it comes out every week, not every day, and number two, because he doesn't deal with that kind of stuff as much. So,
right.
You know, this can't replace all of your knowledge of the world, you know? Like, so what was the biggest story? Well, a dog saved 3 climbers. Like, well, no, what about Iraq? Iraq? I don't know what you're talking about. You know, because he's obviously dealing with a different form of the news. So,
right.
What do you want to say for a rating?
6.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm stuck between a 6 and a 7. I think that the execution is in the 6 range, but I think the content and everything else is
yeah,
in the 7 range.
That's about where I am.
It's
exactly.
Almost like 6.5, but I'll,
but I'm
you know,
not going to do that.
I know. I guess the thing that we would say about this is this is a 6 that's very much leaning in the upwards direction, because I don't think there's that much it would take to move up that extra step.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's transitioning between segments and things like that,
right.
That would certainly be helpful. We like Charles personally, and we think that he is doing a public service,
right.
You know, and that's valuable. Valuable for that reason, but we think the show could have a little bit more refinement, let's say, in the way that it segues and so forth.
Yeah.
And so I guess 6.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So 6 out of 10 for Mostly News. Definitely go check it out. It is cool stuff. And he's also a good guy. All right. That's going to do it for us for this week. I want to thank everybody for listening.
Yeah. I just want to make a note that in America only, because Canada was last week, is Eating Disorder Awareness Week, mm-hmm. The 28th through March 2nd.
Okay.
So try to do some body awareness. Love yourself. Everybody deserves to be loved. And in America, the National Association of Eating Disorders has a number of different events that are happening all over the country. So you can go to their website. We'll put a link on our website so you can get to it.
Okay.
And their slogan for this year, which is the same as last year, is love the genes that you're in. And that's both your genes, but also wear jeans that are comfortable and appropriate to your body type. Don't try to be obsessed about the skinny jeans in the back of the closet.
Yes.
Because over, I think it's 3 million women and 1 million men suffer from some form of eating disorder. And a lot of that's based on an unhealthy obsession with an unhealthy dislike for their bodies. So love yourselves and the form that you're in, and have a great week.
Amen to that. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
it
though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.